Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill radio show. Thank you for tuning in. Another beautiful day in the home of the brave, the land of the free. And we're so glad that you have tuned in. As always, we ask that you please invite your friends and family to come join us. Come learn with us. We've got some really awesome guests, and one of them is Mr. Dan Parker. Hi, Mr. Dan.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
We're doing great. Oh, it's good to hear you, sir. We've missed you. We've not talked to you in a while.
Well, I'm sorry about the last time I had a death in the family, but I'll try not to miss again.
Well, we enjoy the information that you give us, Mr. Dan, and also you're just an encouragement to us. And Ms. Barbara, I know you're like me. You just really do enjoy the time that, you know, we get to spend on the air with him.
Indeed I do. It's always exciting to have Dan on the show with us, and not only just to hear his updates and tell us what all is going on, but as you said, it's just encouraging. And I think about this being the place on the earth where the genius of mankind was unleashed due to the wisdom of our founding fathers and putting that protection of private property in our Constitution, including intellectual property, where all the ideas and inventions will be patented and protected for the one whose ideas they are. And it's just always encouraging and exciting to have Dan with us, and I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's well said, Ms. Barbara, because I just don't think there's any other country that has put out as many patents as this nation has, and it's because of the inspiration, you know, that God has put in here in this land where we can do something with our ideas. And CI Agent Solution, Mr. Dan, the first time I saw you was on Fox News when you were there with Governor Huckabee. And that was just a prime example of how your product works. It was so amazing to see that, you know, We were talking about the oil spill cleanup. I mean, that was in everybody's mind, and you showed that your product is so safe that, you know, y'all did aquarium tests where you pour the oil in there and you poured your product in there and it made it into a solid, and you were able to scrape it up, and the water was so good to the point that even Mike Huckabee drank some of that water. That was just incredible. And but CIA Agent Solutions is your company, and you are. Your company is a global leader in the development of solutions for fuel and oil spill cleanup and containment. That's what your site says. And, I mean, I have talked to you and I've looked at your website, and it's really awesome what this product does, because it is, as you have shown in that example with Mike Huckabee, it is environmental friendly. I mean, it is safe. You know, it turns the oil, like the oil spill in Alabama, called on you because, you know, you were just really held up as one of those leaders. So we thank you for the work. And, well, Mr. Dan, we're going to start off. I guess I will ask Ms. Barbara if she doesn't mind. We always like to follow the Founding Fathers' example, because we're about the business of informing and educating this nation so that we can make godly laws, hopefully, vote in for godly leaders. And so we want to start off with asking God for assistance in that, and we do it with a prayer. So if you don't mind, Ms. Barbara, if you would be so kind to start us off.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you, Diana. And perhaps after we pray, then we could ask Dan to tell us the story. I really want to hear the details of the story from beginning all the way through about this remarkable product and CIA agents' solutions. So, but let's pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, that we can come before you today. We thank you for the many blessings of this day and just the blessing of life itself, Father. We thank you, Father, that we are fearfully and wonderfully created in your image and likeness, so that, Lord, you have placed within us that capacity to learn and to think and imagine and create from what you have placed within the earth. And I thank you, Father, it pleases you. You are well pleased when we create from the resources you have given us. And when we do it, Father, that helps other people. That pleases you so, Father. And I thank you, Father, for the wonderful gift that this nation has been to the world in protecting the ideas of inventors, where they're able to produce and profit from their inventions. And Father, really, I thank you that this has been the place where the genius of mankind has been unleashed. And that was your plan, Father. You have blessed us. You blessed our founders with the wisdom to protect under law. You have blessed us in so many ways. And, Father, you continue to give ideas of witty inventions, as it says in the Bible, that you will, as we follow you, Lord. And as there's need, Father, that you give those ideas for witty inventions to your people, Father, that not only they may profit, Lord, but that mankind could benefit from those ideas. How wise you are, Father. How wonderful you are, O God. And how wonderful you are to allow us to be on this earth at this time of great excitement, this time of really having to lean on you, Father, and to learn the lessons of history once again. We ask your blessing. We ask your blessing upon Dan and his company, that you would pour out your blessings from heaven, Father, upon him, that he will be able to do great and wonderful things in the time that you give him on the earth. And we ask your blessing on other inventors, Father, whose hearts are toward you and toward providing what is good and right in your sight. We thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Ms. Barbara and Mr. Diane, again, thanks for having me on again today. If I start the story, we may take up the whole time, but I'll give you the short and dirty part of the story. C. CIA agent was a product that we renamed. We were in the waste minimization business. Basically, we would teach people like Thompson Tractor in your all's neck of the woods how to not ship off waste and how to reuse that literally for profit. So that business I was in started about 30 years ago, and during the process of that, we discovered different waste streams and different facilities that needed to be dealt with, anywhere from the oils, the antifreezes, the filters, the cardboard, the empty buckets, the trash, aluminum, everything. Everything can be recycled. I always tell people, if you can tell me one thing that God invented that can't be recycled, I'll give you $100. And I don't know one thing that God invented that can't be recycled.
Wow.
So we were in a situation, and actually a gentleman from Thompson Tractor in the Birmingham store is a dear friend of mine, and he ran across a product similar to CIA Agent from a salesman, and he called me because they wouldn't usually put anything in their buy anything until I've read the safety sheets on it and things like that and tested it for them. So I got some of the product, and it did a pretty good job, but we thought it was a little bit expensive, but if it could do the job, it was worth the price. So we got some of the product, and we got it back to our facility, and it didn't quite do what the salesman showed me it did. And I found out later on that he had to lace it with some different fluids to make it work that way. So it intrigued me that if it was that close, why couldn't we make it work on all of the hydrocarbon chains out there, which in the spill world, diesel is a problem, but oil is a bigger problem because it's very difficult to deal with. So a little bit of internet, a little bit of knowledge of people in the business, and I found it in about 2 days. Found a product out of Iowa, and that product was called PetroCapture. So long story short, I got some of that, and it didn't do any better than the other product that I bought. But I decided I could make it work, so I just decided to buy the company. It was very inexpensive because the company went out of business. They couldn't get it to market. They couldn't get people to believe in it. Again, it wasn't the cheapest product on around, but it did seem to have some good characteristics. So when I bought the company for $10,000, we were able to get all the chemist's notes, and I'm not a chemist. I'm actually an automobile mechanic by trade, but I was intrigued, and I had a problem where oil and water were on water where they wash heavy equipment. So long story short, I did a lot of research, spent a lot of time, a lot of money, and we were able to discover that there was about 800 different polymers on the market, but they were used for different things, such as enhancing glue, to put in shingles, to put in asphalt, to put in tires and oil, in medical devices, those type of things. And most of them are very, very clean. So the ones that we chose and seem to have the best support behind it are all food-grade polymers. And the polymers are just thermal rubber. They're plastic. They're made from oil and natural gas. They're very clean. And, again, they're actually all food-grade polymers. So you could eat them. They're just not real nourishing, but it won't hurt you. So long story short, our other business was supporting my energy and efforts, and I was spending hours and days trying to figure out how to make this formula work on oil. And finally, I just ran out of money. So we had spent about $500,000 by then, and I don't have that kind of money. You know, as an automobile mechanic, you don't make a whole lot of money, but I was in that business for 20 years, and I had already started my environmental company, and that was already somewhere around 15 years old. So I had both. So we had a little resource and income, but I had to just quit. So in 2000 or 1999, I decided I wasn't going to give up. So I went out and sold half my company to some investors who were all just friends. They wanted to get in with me, and I really did tell them, don't give me any more money than you can't flush down the toilet, because I don't know if I'm going to go broke again. And Well, three of them gave me some money, and it was just enough to hire the sales manager. So I put him on that, and I stayed focused on the other business so that we could still feed all of our employees. Of 2000, we ran out again. So he went away and as a friend and didn't complain about losing his investment. And then in 2001, I landed a Valvoline account with doing some waste minimization and putting in furnaces that burn old motor oil very cleanly, and they heat all those little quick chains with them all over the United States. That was a very great influx of cash. It was a tough project, and I was away from home for 6 months, but my wife agreed that, you know, I needed to do that, and it did employ quite a few people. And so we did that, and then we had enough money to get started again. So we hired Mr. Masters, who's our sales manager, and he was selling coffee. So none of us had any background in chemistry whatsoever, but the product, the CIA agent, still didn't work. So I couldn't really sell as a CIA agent. I just had to start figuring out where we might be able to sell it. And of course, naturally, the water is the natural thing you would think because it works so well on water. But that's not where it ended up going to market. Electrical utilities is our primary business. Southern companies in your all's area is a good customer. We have Alabama Power. We have Georgia Power. There's not many power companies in the United States, big power companies, that we don't do work for. Actually, we are now in seven other countries. So or seven other areas internationally. They cover about 20 countries. So the product, I had to make it work. So literally, one day, I told a new operations manager who was actually sweeping the floors. He wasn't an operation manager at that time. He swept floors. I said, you're going to stay all night, and we're going to fix this. We're going to figure this out. So we took all 800 polymers and lined them up in the kitchen. We have a pretty big kitchen here at the office. And I started just playing with them. And I made it work, and I made it work every time. But I forgot which ones jars I took it out of. So, and I said, all right, we can't do this again. We'll come back tomorrow night, and let's start writing this down. And about 2 days later, we did figure out that I could put 12 of them together out of the 800, and it would make it work just exactly as you saw on the Mike Huckabee Show. And the one key ingredient, it had to be non-toxic, and it had to be all food grade. I didn't want to use anything other than that. So we made it work, and we started. The utility industry took off for us. We only went broke one more time, and then I had to sell the remaining shares to about 60 more friends that begged me to let them in. And again, I told them the same thing. They did, and God blessed us very much so that in 2005 I got my first paycheck, and we haven't looked back. Our company has grown from 2003 to 2005, 800%, and now every year somewhere between 40 and 60%. We have not suffered any during this recession.
Wow.
We've actually grown. We hired someone actually last week. We got another one starting Monday. So we went from four people to about 24 people, and we have about 70 reps across the United States and about seven reps internationally that cover 20 countries. And business is good. We're not a big company. We did about $7 million last year, and BP was about $3.5 million of that. But we run very lean and mean. The product works every time, and now we're up to about 10 different formulas, and we can formulate to the problems. So during the Deepwater Horizon spill, the issues I was going to face was the emulsified oils from the dispersants. So I got my polymers back out, and we figured out which ones we could mix together. It had to be a completely different mixture, and we were able to even do those oils. So our business has really taken off, really because of folks like you asking us to be on shows. People want us to come and speak in front of Rotary clubs and tell the story. And it's been a delightful experience. I won't tell you it was easy, But we do believe in God, and we know that without Him we couldn't do this. And my wife is a very, very godly woman, and so she prays for me every day.
Wow.
But now we're doing good.
It's an American story too, and it's so exciting. I love the parts about the struggles and the it's just so inspiring. I just love it.
Well, I tell young people and other people, you just can't give up if you really truly believe in something, and you can't do it on your own. You know, you got to have some faith that. And you've got to be doing something that's right. You know, it's not just a get-rich-quick scheme like that. So we have been very blessed, and our other business is still alive and well, and so we're able to expand and able to help people literally with problems that they never could fix before. We're very excited around here, and we just love the folks that work here. I have nothing but I put my team up against any team.
Wow, that's a great true story of, well, God's hand upon your life, Mr. Dan, and you know, I just think about, I was talking to a lady earlier, and she, you know, she talks about, Ms. Annette, if you're listening, she had told me how she is spoiled by God. She is so blessed by God, and I just think about living in this land where you're free to do that, to be the best you can be, and even though, you know, you had to try again and again, Mr. Dan, because of, you know, this nation being what it is and what the Founding Fathers had put in there, the freedoms, you were able to pursue your goals, your dreams, and it took some time, but look at the results with your perseverance. So we're just thankful to God, and what an awesome story. And a lot of people that's listening, you know, their story may not be so bright, but we do believe in Almighty God, just like the founders did. And He came through for the founders then. They didn't think they were going to make it. So, you know, don't stop praying. And if you've never prayed to God, you need to get started. But, Mr. Dan, you were going to look up some information on the industry. I know there's a lot of people right now that is really very upset with, you know, the drilling that had to stop because of the oil spill, and, you know, that was like the end of the world, the end of the Gulf Coast. But I believe, as you can tell us, that was not the end of the world, and that was not the end of the Gulf Coast, right?
That is exactly right. Unfortunately, Louisiana was the most damaged, very little or no damage in Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. What they're digging up now is probably stuff that's been entrenched in the tidal waves for a long time. But that part was not good. The seafood is coming back. We have one of our groups is monitoring the seafood over there, and we're not seeing any signs of any danger from eating seafood over there. The drilling has begun. In April, the 10th permit was issued. They're not going to publicize publicly. You have to do a lot of research to see how many they've done since then. But I think President Obama has finally understood with these prices of gas, he's not hurting rich Americans, he's hurting middle-class Americans. And they can't afford $4 a gallon gasoline. They can't run their businesses. They can't go to work. They can't eat. Groceries went up. Everything went up. So we have to have this renewable energy. We can't always rely on wind and solar. We're going to have to continue to burn coal, we're a coal state. I know you have a little bit of coal in Alabama, but it's really killed our coal industry now that it's being regulated and all the permits are shut down. So the oil is begun. Exxon has got a project starting. The first one was done back in, I believe it was March or April, and that particular group, I've got it right here. I've got to get my glasses where I can read. But basically, NERCO, I think they were, they started drilling. They're Noble Energy, out of Houston. And their well is about 70 miles off the coast of Venice. It's actually going to end up about 19,000 feet down, where the Deepwater Horizon was only 5,000 feet down. So if you can imagine, and they're already past 13,000 feet. So they expect it to produce, I think I read, 700 million barrels of oil. It's going to be a huge, 700 million barrels. That's a whole lot of oil, since we use about 20 million barrels a day here in the United States, and we only produce about 5 million barrels. So it has been done. Senator Landrieu out of Louisiana, she has said it's been long overdue getting these permits back out, so I know she's been fighting for her constituents. I know BP had announced yesterday, the BP chairman, and said that they should be starting to drill again in the Gulf of Mexico very soon, and I'll be flying to Houston on Sunday to meet with BP. I won't meet with this gentleman. He's the one in England, but I will be meeting with some of the authorities there, and I might even have a little more information that I could tell you then. But it does look positive that the jobs should be starting back up, and it should start helping the economy turn around in all those Gulf areas, because we do need to do offshore drilling there. We need to go to Alaska. We need to go to Montana. There's a tremendous amount of oil in Montana.
Well, the oil industry has been made to look like the bad guy. And even, you know, with what happened in Japan, Mr. Dan, you know, even the nuclear industry has been made to look like the bad guy. But as we're seeing, just like with the oil spill cleanup, you know, it was not the end of the world. And it was not like, as far as we know, it was not an intentional incident, right? I really don't know all the facts out in regard to what happened there.
There's probably things we don't know about. There were some rumors, and I would say that's probably what they were. Of course, no one wants to see a loss of life for any amount of money. BP didn't want to spend $40 billion either. They put the biggest black eye in the industry, and obviously it shut down all the drilling. They didn't have any intentions for that. There probably were some maintenance issues, and we can blame our government. The inspections were not done properly. They didn't enforce the violations as they would on some other businesses. And so it wasn't BP's total fault. I think there's a lot of folks to blame that caused this accident. And I think we've learned a lot, and I really truly believe in disasters like this, God, things happen for a reason, and it maybe woke America up that, number one, we need the energy. We need to do it in the Gulf of Mexico. We need to be safer, and our regulatory industry has to not regulate us to death, but they need their safety issues. It always should be enforced, or there should be not only fines and penalties, there should be as much as jail time if they continue it, as it is in the waste industry. If you deliberately pour waste, if just say someone as simple as your car dealer in your town were to dump paint waste and they caught him, he is liable to cost $1 million and go to jail for a year. It's mandatory, $1 million and go to jail for a year. Well, most car dealers might be able to withstand that $1 million, but I know he wouldn't like it. So they learned back in the 70s you don't do that. You know, you don't take those chances of these disasters. How this happened, you know, will we ever know? You know, there's a lot of people not talking. I saw somewhere where there's some folks refusing to testify, so they're – They're obviously the lawyers are going to eventually get it out of them, but I know that BP is. I really truly believe that BP was taken advantage of both by our government and by, unfortunately, some vendors and contractors that saw this as a get rich quick mechanism. I don't think the local natives and folks that live there obviously are going to get rich quick, because they're. A lot of them went broke, or at least are starting to get some compensation back. I know some folks that had condos told me that they probably wouldn't have been able to rent their condos anyway because the economy was so bad. So if you hear the both sides of the story, I do believe that we all will learn and gain from this, and there's going to be huge technologies developed from this particular event. it's unbelievable the amount of people that contact me and they say, how did you get into that? How did you even get asked to come to that? And I tell them, I said, you got to go to meetings and you got to attend these meetings where the government regulatory people are, and you just sit there and be quiet until you really have something good to say. And we've been attending those meetings for 12 years, as you probably heard me testify in front of the Senate. I don't know if you've seen that on our website, but I did testify in front of Senator Landrieu in Washington 3 days after I drank the water for Huckabee.
Well, I did see some. I don't remember seeing that, Mr. Dan, but I was a little bit dismayed, I think, right around the time because, you know, there was a lot of uproar and anti-energy almost sounding. And I was disappointed to hear some of the meetings that were going on in Congress back then. It was one-sided affairs. In your case, it was not one-sided, but unfortunately, but I think that the election helped a lot, so it's not so one-sided anymore. But it's good to hear both sides of the story, and with the product that you have, the solutions that y'all had being what it is, an excellent, you know, form of solution, non-toxic. People really, I think, are paying more attention now. Ms. Barbara, would you like to make a comment, or you have a question for Mr. Dan?
Well, thank you. Yes, I do. Several, actually. I was thinking how each invention spawns other inventions, and it just it creates a ripple going outward, you know, from developing a project to produce or a product to producing a product to marketing it, transporting it, you know, and all the jobs that are created. It's just a beautiful thing that goes on when there's a new invention, and that's got to be so exciting. I was wondering about the water situation. If you have anything, you know, here in the South, we're in a drought, and I don't know. I think that probably many other areas are getting concerned about their water situations. I know here in the South, in Southeast Alabama, we really are. And I was wondering, is anything going on to with water technology and all of that?
There's a lot of things on water technology, and there's a lot of movements to try to move water from where there's plentiful down to where there's not so plentiful, like they do actually from California to Arizona. That's done, you know, through to Nevada, you know, through channels and tunnels and stuff like that. There's a lot of water technology that they're able to take salt water now much less cost, much easier, and get the salt out of it for drinking water. That is coming. But as far as flood controls and things like that, there's some good things happening with flood control, so we don't get so much flooding. You know, the folks up north, and even we've had quite a bit of rain. I think it's rained 6 weeks in a row here. And, you know, it's hard to build. If there is anybody building, it's hard to get a building out of the ground. And you'll be glad to know we are expanding again. But as far as water, drinking water, lots of technology. Lots and lots and lots of good things coming out of trying to figure out even things like herbicides and pesticides. What is the dangers in mercury? Because we have to start monitoring, and actually EPA has set up new criteria for testing that says we no longer want parts per million, nor parts per billion, nor parts per trillion. We want to know parts per quadrillion. What's
wow.
in this? And so that, again, causes inventions to be made. And great news is we bought a little company that just happened to invent one of those, who also worked in the Gulf with us. We were monitoring that water down to parts per quadrillion. That's why we know the food is safe to eat. And that technology is being adopted by the U.S. Geological Service, who is the largest testing agency of water in possibly the world, but for sure in the United States. So there's a lot of water is our number one product, believe it or not, over oil. we have to keep water because we have to have water. We can probably figure out how to put a windmill up or a solar panel, but if we run out of water, we're in trouble.
Yes, indeed. Dan, are you on the stock exchange? Are you still a public company?
No, ma'am, we're just privately owned, and unfortunately, that last time I went broke, I sold all the remaining stocks, so I don't even have any I could offer anybody. We have been approached, especially after the spill, but even before the spill, by some large, very large firms to want to join us or give us money and take us over. We've been so blessed, we don't need the money.
That's great.
You know, we're able to do our expansions and we're able to do our new hires without borrowing. We don't have a lot, but we actually do, or we are self-funded. But we are looking for a strategic partner that really would fit, but we don't want to go away. We don't want somebody coming in and putting it on a shelf like a large spill response company coming in and saying, because they don't want us to have it. It's too fast. But, no, we're not on the stock exchange, and someday we may be, and you'll be the first for me to call and tell.
Thank you. I appreciate that, because I don't have much money, but I surely would like to have some shares of your company. Let me ask you about the Environmental Protection Agency and OSHA, and, you know, I know that there are burdensome regulations, and you're not complaining, and I know you are thriving in the midst of it, and that is just so beautiful. But if you could offer any suggestions for improvement for businesses getting started, or would you have any suggestions for the government as to how to be more business friendly to those startup businesses, or, you know, what would you suggest?
Well, they have to take some of these burdens off, because just like your oil companies and your coal companies, I mean, we know we can't do without it. We know that they're regulating the air emissions tight enough. There's good air emission standards out there now. They're clear that they can use. They're expensive, but the power companies they're not complaining about putting them on. They're just complaining because they're not letting them use coal, which is the least expensive fuel there is. So that's some of the things, and believe me, they're being fought on it in Washington, D.C., and every state level is fighting it, especially when it's your particular industry, like Louisiana and Alabama, for drilling. They're fighting that moratorium, and they got it done. So, but, you know, I don't think many Americans are deliberate polluters. I don't think any of us are. I think we're all very conscious. You might find somebody throws a bag of trash out the window once in a while, but it's not very often anymore. And recycling pays. So there's plenty of opportunities for people to get started in any of those industries to come up. But the key with something like this is you got to have a passion, and you got to kind of have an idea where what you think might work. You can always, with the internet, it's so fast now that there's so much data to read that there's no reason for people not to excel if they really have a passion for a certain field. There's just no reason for it. There's lots of opportunities. I know the job market is not good in the United States, but I was talking to our Australian group last night, and they can't get enough people to work. You know,
really?
It's crazy. Yeah, they can't. They have to pay a lady in the office $100,000 a year.
Wow.
You can go work in a coal mine for $150,000 a year. That's where they start them. So the other jobs, like restaurants, well, restaurants are $65,000 a year. And, you know, in our country, the girls make $2.35 plus tips.
So why is this, Dan?
Well, one thing about Australia, there's not a lot of people there. There's only 22 million in the whole country, and it's as big as the United States, but it's not much land mass. All the mass is desert. But There's plenty of opportunity. Their mining is booming. Their oil drilling is booming. All the businesses are booming. It's unbelievable. Now, the rest of the world doesn't seem to have that luxury, but OSHA can be tough, but again, I don't think people could intentionally do things unsafely, but accidents do happen every day. So training is an opportunity for people to get started in, and you can pick, and we did training with part of our on-site waste management. We found out the auto dealers and those equipment dealers, they didn't want to pay for OSHA stuff. They didn't want to expend it. They said, no, we're safe enough. When in fact the laws were very clear that they had to do training. Even almost every business has a certain amount of training they have to do. So we just incorporated it right into the business, and it created at least one job here in our office, but literally outside of that, we trained hundreds of people to be trainers. So that opportunity is there. I think the thing with EPA is that they're hiring so many government workers that don't want to get out in the field and do their job, and they don't find businesses that deserve to be fined or enforce it. So, therefore, there's no teeth in it, so therefore people ignore it. I don't think that's what happened to BP. I think there was some negligence on the folks that inspect the wells, but that's what we hear it anyway, so I'm assuming that is true. But there's many opportunities out there environmentally. I'd go into water, because water is probably will be the next world war, will be fought over water. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we won't ever have another world war, but it could happen very easily.
Mr. Dan, well, I'm guessing what in essence is going on in Australia is they don't have as many rules and regulations as we do.
Oh, no. No, they're very stringent as we are. Matter of fact, some of the European countries are much more environmentally stringent than we are. We just actually got our approvals on CIA agent in Australia about 2 months ago. So they had to go through about the same as I had to go through. And believe me, I think EPA has its advantages. And, yes, they're regulating the utility industry, and it helps our business on one end. But getting to UCI agent was very difficult, and the BP bill is the only time we've ever been invited to the party. You know, they don't like us showing up. We are approved, but cleanup companies just absolutely despise us. So we never are invited, and it was BP that took us in, so we didn't have to worry about the contractors.
They needed you then.
Well, it took me 7 years to get the first authorization, going to 3 meetings a year per region, and there's 13 regions in this country. See, that's what I complained about on the Senate floor. I said, you're making me go around to every region individually when, in fact, you have a national board. Why can't I just do this once? Now it's been 12 years, and I'm still only in 3 regions. So it was very difficult.
Well, hopefully more doors are going to open up.
Well, this bill opened a lot of doors for a lot of people. I've been reading up on some new technology, and some of the doctors you saw on Huckabee with me are still calling me. Maverick, one calls me probably every week, and he was the NASA scientist that invented the beeswax. But he's done something else now, and he actually is part of the Japanese nuclear crisis. So, it's funny how you meet people and you don't know where they're ever going to lead you, but it's been a heck of a ride.
What an adventure.
It sounds like an exciting ride for you, Mr. Dan. I just wanted to ask you, if I could, Mr. Dan, about, I'm just looking at this, I guess it just came out June 21st, so I guess that's yesterday. I don't know if you've had a chance to see this, but it's talking about EPA proposes 2012 renewable fuel standards, and this is, well, it just came out yesterday, so you probably not have, but they're talking about they proposed a 2012 percentage standard for 4 fuel categories under the RSS2 based on the annual renewable fuel volume targets. And EPA once again lowered the targets for cellulosic ethanol, which was set at 500 million gallons in 2012, to somewhere between 3.45 and 12.9 million gallons. What does that sound like in a language that we can understand, Mr. Dan?
It sounds like a stimulus package, because most of these are set by the government. And ethanol, the only reason ethanol is going so well is because oil prices are high. If oil comes back down, ethanol, most of the ethanol folks that started back when it went to $4 a gallon the last time, went out of business because they, when oil dropped back down, they had so much money invested and they weren't subsidized. Farmers' corn went up, so therefore feeding cattle goes up. So it's a lot of subsidies. All these windmills they're building are all subsidized by us, by you, the taxpayer. And coal is not, and oil is not. Now, oil was subsidized somewhat, as everybody used to complain. Why do the oil companies make so much money? Because they spend a lot of money.
You know, how can we help the coal industry, Mr. Dan, with what you were saying at the beginning there?
Say that again.
How can we help the coal industry, you know, as you were referring in the very beginning to the coal industry?
We've got to go to Washington and just propose, mine safety is the number safest place to work is in a coal mine. People don't realize that, but those guys go through unbelievable training. We did have two miners get trapped here in Kentucky this week. It was for flooding. It didn't have anything to do with the collapse of the mine. The mine's flooded, but they were all fine, so I believe they got them out. But we have to support the energy companies, you know, the utility companies, and they need to build more coal-fired generation plants in this country, or nuclear, one or the other. And our nuclear plants are so safe, I don't think we ever could possibly experience anything like what happened in Japan. And that's what I've been told by a lot of people in the industry. Say we have four times the safety regulations on nuclear as they did. So nuclear is probably the best energy we could produce. You have several in your state. So it's cheap, it's clean, and it's safe. So that's probably it. And, you know, someday they'll develop cold fusion out of water, and I'm not so convinced that it hasn't already been invented and they're just not letting it out.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like a great thing right there, if that could be developed. And you would think that people would invest money in that, Mr. Dan.
Some have. I've tried to do some research, and I've talked to some physicists, because those are things, even though I might not have a background or even a college education, that's what intrigues me, because I know it can help. And sometimes it takes the stubbornness of what I obviously was born with, that... You got to be stubborn, and you got to go to Washington, and you just have to say just make. But you got to do a lot of research and figure out, can you really make it work? That's the key. You can't just say, well, let's invent cold fusion till you know if it can be invented, and then is it really safe? You know, those kind of things. But nuclear is safe, and the coal plants. There's no way that we see in the near future that they're going to be able to shut down all coal generation plant. We cannot sustain energy with wind and solar. We cannot do it.
Well, you know, that's what Barack Obama said he was going to do when he was campaigning. He said he was going to shut down the coal industry.
Yeah, I heard, I think it was on Glenn Beck last night, a gentleman, I forget, he was in Ohio, and he was he owned a coal company. And he was really, really hammering. Yeah, he said, you can build them, but I'm going to put you out of business.
That's right. That's right.
That's first thing out of his mouth.
Yeah. So and we have enough coal in this country for 500 years use at least.
Yeah, we've got plenty of coal, we've got plenty of oil, we've got huge amounts of natural gas.
Yeah.
I mean, we have the energy. It has to be something to do with they don't want us, you know, what logic is it not to use our own energy and quit depending on these people in the Middle East?
Yeah, it's no logic. I personally think it's an agenda. I think it's a plan, and I think it's also protecting. You know, people are investing money in protecting their own businesses and how they profit from it, and that's so unfortunate.
Well, the environmental activists have caused a lot of these issues, probably the majority of these issues. Mm-hmm. And they're strong in lobbying. Kennedy up there in Washington, I think he's in New York, actually. But, you know, he had the money and he had the connections, and I think it's all about who the lobbyist is and who you can pay off. Mm. And it's obviously a lot of crooks up there.
Yeah, there are.
And Mr. Dan, you know, hearing the president kind of laugh about those not-so-shovel-ready jobs just really, I think, show the American people how far he is from a reality of their suffering. And as you have just been telling us, you know, there's so much oil here that if they would just open the doors wide, I mean, that would surely help our economy if they would just unleash and use what we have in our own country instead
exactly
of having
right
to import it.
We got to quit buying from China. You know, all we're doing is buying all their products and borrowing all their money.
Yes, okay. we're empowering them.
Yep.
To be what they want to be, which is the one world power.
They are buying all the oil they can get, and they're buying all the coal they can get.
Gold they can get.
Yep, it's unbelievable. And they, you know, I don't know how well the living is over there. They don't pay them very much.
No, they don't. Most of the profit goes to the government. And, of course, the government has been building up their military with their profits for many, many years now. So it's a frightening situation. You know, when you think about it, all the money that we borrow from them, and the Bible says that the borrower is servant of the lender. And to be China's servant is not a position that we want to be in.
No, I don't think so, and I think the next election we'll see that again. I think America, if they're not scared yet, they better get that way, because this country's in trouble, and it's sad to say. But another thing is, you know, the like Walmart getting sued because of discrimination of management jobs, and when they proved in fact they didn't have a discrimination. But the lawyers, that's probably, you could get me started all day long on these subjects, because if we don't get tort reform in this country
and right.
control our borders, quite frankly, I don't know why we don't keep, if we don't fight, you know, the cartels in Mexico and keep the illegals from coming in from all the borders, spend more time on that, and I hate to say it, let Libya and Syria and them fend for themselves for a little bit.
Well, gosh, yes, we don't have any business over there anyway. That's not our business.
It's who knows what. I mean, I wish I had answers.
The thing about the Middle East, too, is that whatever government is toppled, probably a worse one will follow, you know. So, you know, to topple these governments is just ludicrous.
We're hearing that
with Muslim Brotherhood and Egypt. Mr. Dan, you know, we've been hearing about the tax breaks for these oil companies, you know, people for and against it. Can you give us a little bit of your opinion in regard to those things?
Well, I haven't done a lot of research on that particular situation. I'm assuming because they employ so many people, that's all I can assume, is that they're getting some subsidies for inventing and for, you know, they have to do a lot of exploration, and it's probably where it's in research and development. There are tax breaks for all businesses for research and development, to include mine. We do quite a bit of it, but it's not enough of it to fill out the paperwork, I hate to say. And that's maybe one of the things that Washington needs to do. It's just the paper burden and the permitting burden on these oil companies and coal companies and, you know, just auto industry. All of them are just heavily burdened with regulatory paperwork and tax laws are, you know, we don't even want – now we're not going to go into taxes because then I will start complaining.
Mr. Dillon, I was reading about how much money it costs them to invest, you know, in just exploration, as you were saying, to find if a site is viable. And, you know, we don't think about it, but it costs an awful lot of money even just to start it. I can understand.
I think each day is $1 million per well. And it might take them 2 years to find a well. You know,
yeah, I think that's something most of us don't understand, you know, that it's an awful lot of, you know, money that it takes because we're talking about drilling in the oceans here and the seas, and so it takes a lot of technology and equipment.
Oh, yeah, and believe me, they are regulated. So some subsidies are, you know, if we want cheap energy, which America does, we're the cheapest in energy in the world. We have the cheapest gasoline, as bad as we complain about it. We have the cheapest utilities. You know, it's even we're sometimes greedy. We've been taught, you know, and buying cheap products from China, and you know, and it's sad to say, but that's what we want. So that's what we got, and now we don't like what we're getting. So we have to decide if we want to put Americans back to work. Number one is we've got to build things in America and be expected to pay a higher price for it. But you'll be able to afford it because you'll be getting paid more to do it.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that would help, too, is if they would lessen the regulations on the businesses that are here at home. Right, Mr. Dan? I mean, one of the biggest costs that a business owner has is just keeping up with what the government wants them to do. So, you know, it's like a circle.
We have only have 20-some people now, but we have two people that do nothing but deal with regulations. And our accountant, she can't keep up with the taxes because everything's got its own tax. Every city's got its own tax. Every state's got its own tax. We hired a gentleman out of St. Louis, and now we just hired a young lady out of Indiana. The paperwork was about 2 inches thick just to give them a job.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's outrageous.
It's unbelievable. It doesn't need to be that way. But
Dan.
But that's what they put on.
Our time is, we're running out of time, but listen, before we go, do you still have your biochemist from Auburn University?
I do. She's sitting in the other room, and actually she's headed back to Auburn Monday to do more testing in the labs down there for us. She's doing her... she's preparing for her doctorate, and she's doing all of her studies on our type of technology, although she's a biochemist who's also still working on the stem cell serums 2 days a week. So we do have Jola. She is leaving to go there for 2 weeks to get the testing done. The University of Louisville didn't have the proper equipment, and Dr. Hanley, who's at Auburn, has arranged to be sure that she could come back there. She knows a lot of people there, so she can actually make more if she did the work there, so she doesn't have to spend all of her money here for certain tests. But we have her, and we're going to hate to – I think she's going to end up going back to India in October, so we're going to lose her. I think her dad wants to marry her off, so she has to go.
Oh, no. We're going to lose her, and she's so good here. She needs to be staying here in the United States.
Well, but we're going to get another student from Auburn, so
good.
So we'll get another student from Auburn and keep them moving forward in technology and advancements, and so yeah, we do have Jola, and she's a sweetie, but like I said, her dad's pushing her to come home so we can marry her off.
Wow,
we wish her
well,
the best.
I'm sure she loves working for you, Mr. Dan. I would love to work for you too.
Well, I appreciate it.
Well, we thank you, sir, and we are closing, and we'd like to end in prayer. And I just think for those that are listening that, you know, we hear so much doom and gloom about the economy. It is really like a a bit of sunlight to hear the
yes.
success of your firm, Mr. Dan. And, you know, it is possible. It is still possible, but we have to unleash the power and the ability of the citizens of this nation. And I think one of the best things we can do is to take away a lot of this burdensome regulations. You know, when we hear from our Dr. Edward Boudreau, who is a scientist, a chemical scientist, and he says, you know, it's an agenda. You know, what happens with the global warming, their scenarios about the, you know, greenhouse effect, that's nothing but a lie. And he's a scientist. He should know. But he says to try to explain that away is very hard because there is an agenda behind it. So, unfortunately, in a lot of our regulations, even with the EPA, you know, versus, I mean, cap and trade has got their way in through the EPA. And so it's more burdensome regulation than most people can handle. And it's got to be unleashed. So we thank God that Obama has seen the light in the Gulf Coast, Mr. Dan.
Yeah, me too.
And those people are starting to get their jobs back. What a wonderful thing. And that's it. You know, the reality is in that man that's trying to get a job. You know, you cannot laugh at jobs. And I really that was so disdainful to see the president talk about, well, snicker about shovel-ready jobs. People are hurting. So with that in mind, and we just want to pray about the industry that you're in, Mr. Dan, because it is just really, I think, a wave of good things for the future if the power is unleashed for people to do the best that they can do, as you have done. So with that in mind, Ms. Barbara, would you like to comment on anything else before we ask Mr. Dan if he doesn't mind to pray for our nation?
I was just thinking how Dr. Boudreau and Dan would have a big time together, and maybe they can both be on the show at the same time one day, and that would be such
fun. Yeah.
They would really like each other and have a lot to talk about, I think. But I'm just very thankful. As you said, it's like sunshine, it's sunlight on our day, and we love to hear about the good things that are going on, and this is certainly such a blessing, such a good thing, and just very encouraging and upbeat. So, Dan, I appreciate you so much, and I pray God will bless your company, bless your family even more than he already has. So thank you again for being on the show. And Diana, you asked Dan to pray.
I'm going to ask Mr. Dan if he doesn't mind, Mr. Dan. I know you see a lot from the hurting people in the oil that has worked in the oil industry when that place closed up. You saw a lot of that devastation in families losing their jobs and all sorts of things, and it's really good, the news that you're telling us, you know, what's going on. But there's so many more still out of work. So with that in mind, sir, would you mind praying?
No, not at all. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be on this program with these two wonderful ladies, to share my story again and to encourage people to not give up, that it will get better if they have their faith in you, to never give up, to continue to ask for prayers, ask in your prayers for forgiveness, number one, but number two, for encouragement and to take care of your families, to help our president understand we cannot continue down the path that he has led us, to help our regulatory people, our Congress folks and our senators to open their eyes and not fight with each other so much and do what's right for the nation, to make us aware that we cannot continue buying everything from another country and other countries. We have to capitalize on our resources and give them the wisdom and give us some regulatory folks who see the light and know that, as Ms. Barbara said, these greenhouse gases, it was a forest, and we got to get people out of there that continue to lie and educate for their own greed and their own wealth, because it will come back to them someday, but they're hurting an awful lot of people. I will thank the president for finally opening up the drilling in the Gulf and get these folks back to work and get the seafood industry back up, and maybe they'll get some encouragement, surely just strictly through economics. Blessed all of the rest of our day today. Give us a thank you for asking for success for our business, but I hope that for all businesses. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you. And we invite people to go to your website, Mr. Dan, CI Agent Solutions, and just incredible work that y'all are doing, and leader in the industry. And we're so privileged to have you come on when you can. Thank you, sir. And we hope you'll join us again in the future.
I will, and someday I'm actually going to come right to that studio.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to take you out to lunch. Definitely, for sure, when you come. But
I'll
be forward to that. Just let us know. We look forward to that, won't we, Miss Barbara?
Indeed, we will.
Thank you, ladies, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you, sir. Well, thank you, listeners. May God shine his face upon you. Be encouraged. He is listening to you, and he will hear and answer your prayers. May God bless you. Have a great day, and goodbye.